We got some questions on there too today.
Yeah, on the Facebook.
Yeah, I got it pulled up right here.
Okay, cool. All right. Got a couple viewers so far. Welcome to Kayak Kevin podcast number 6. It is February 17, 2014, and we have Rick Burnley today and Lee Williams. And just the from last week, we had to cancel last week's because apparently our last podcast was a little bit too much partying for the neighbors there.
It was uproar amongst the locals.
I split the house that I live in, and my housemate didn't like that we were having people over and making that much of a ruckus, so made it hard for us. So we've moved it here to Lee's house, and so appreciate you keeping the podcast going. So thanks to Lee, we have kept the podcast going, because otherwise there's probably a couple more, maybe another month there before we weren't going to be able to do it there. But so I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, no problem at all. Huh? The podcast lives on. Studio 2.
It's fun, you know.
Actually, below sea level right here. So we're below sea level right here.
But yeah, it's been a good response. So I wanted to we were seeing that it's a good response. People are liking it, and so we definitely wanted to keep it going. Didn't want something like that to stop it. Some little bullshit like that to stop it. But Rick, we touched on who Rick is, and if you don't know who Rick is, well, we can say, what would you call him? He would be the most influential, I guess, kind of one of the most influential guys in fishing, not only kayak fishing, but fishing
all over the place.
All over the place.
No, that's that other guy.
That you wouldn't know, right?
Right.
The guy, he wouldn't know his face, but you would. You see his name if you read any magazine.
Yeah,
if you read any magazine.
Any magazine, honestly. In the past, what, 20 years?
15, yeah.
15, well, at least the last 10
years, yeah.
with the major magazines you've been doing. But Rick, if you should have brought a magazine. You should have brought a kayak angler, at least.
Yeah,
should have some. You have some? bring up magazines. So, yeah, Rick is Kayak Angler magazine, the editor of Kayak Magazine. I said last time it was your editor in chief.
Kayak
but
Angler
it's,
magazine.
It's
comes out 4 times a year. but
he's the editor of Kayak Magazine. So this is or Kayak Angler magazine. So this is this is the first one in this type of quality where it is, it's high gloss. It's a real deal magazine. So if you've seen,
they're very nice magazines.
Yeah,
we work real hard on.
Yeah.
We enjoy it. Yeah, it's fun.
But you've just taken that over.
I've seen that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
In the last
year. Well, a little over a year, yeah.
Yeah. And it was cool because when you said you were taking it over, we were like, oh shit. You're not only at the time when you took this over, you're regional editor for Saltwater Angler, Saltwater Sportsman magazine. Mm-hmm. So regional editor means you bring stories from this area.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So And you were going down to Florida. I think you're covering some stuff. I mean, basically, as a reporter, what Rick does, what's interesting, is he hops on charter boats and just takes pictures. And it's advertisement for the charter boats. It's a story. He gets a story out of it, and so that's kind of how he gets all these. Basically kayaking. Is just you actually fish kayaking.
Yeah.
So, but all the offshore stuff, you hop on the boats and you take all the pictures and it gets in the magazines. So you were doing the regional stuff for those two magazines. But when you took on Kayak Angler magazine, that's a different thing. That's not just a regional thing where you're sending stories. You're putting together a whole damn magazine.
Yep. There's a lot of people you have to consider in this. I mean, there's a lot of areas that,
it's a challenge.
It's cold right now right here. And we want to see cold stuff in the magazine. It's not cold in Florida. It's not cold in Hawaii. It's, this thing goes to parts of the world.
Yeah.
And it's not, it's not cold there.
Yeah, it's been fun.
So,
but it's a worldwide magazine, right? I mean, what's the distribution?
International. We're probably like 50,000 subscriptions, and then,
what's what countries?
Oh, gosh. All over the world, we've got coverage in Mexico. Of course, this issue here had, kayak fishing the world, destinations around the world that, where kayak fishing is exploding to the point where there's now, you can go to these places, Italy, South America, and Panama.
South Africa.
Puerto Rico. I mean, some places are close enough that anybody can get to, and some places are absolutely wild. But the thing is when you get there, there's kayak fishing guides ready to take you fishing. There's places for you to stay. You know, if, so the sport is spread not only to the point where people in these countries are doing it, but where they've, you know, they're starting to build industries around it too. And it's cool to see that kayak anglers are interested in traveling around the world and, you know, hitting some of these destinations and stuff like that too. So it's you know, that's just one part of it. Just watching this sport expand in so many different ways. It's
and I've seen that with I'm getting these emails from these guys out in Hawaii. They the Christmas Island thing that Boogie D always is doing, mm-hmm. and some other ones that are, you know, the Costa Rica trips that I hear about. These guys mm-hmm. are, you know, they email me with these things. But yeah, it's not only that, but just I like the fact that the industry has exploded in these regions that are like, oh,
yeah.
You would think we're here in America, we fish here, and we've seen how it's blown up here, and we see how it's spread out. But for these other countries, not only to be kayak fishing, but an industry to blow up around that fishery is really cool.
Yeah, no, you know, and that's the thing too. The industry's followed as well. So yeah, you can get kayaks in all these places too, and you know, get fully rigged up with everything. What, Hook One just opened up a location, I believe, in Mexico. Mm. You know, so I mean, there you go, right there. Yeah.
Yep.
Going international.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's exciting.
That's another local guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, remember the croaker guy in Argentina? Did you ever get up with that guy?
Yeah, I did, but he did send us some stuff about how he did and all like that. Was pretty.
Yeah, this is a giant croaker, and that's one thing with, you know, the magazine, but with the way media and where we have Facebook today and the way we're so spread out mm-hmm. that we see. I mean, well, I would never seen those croakers in Argentina if it wasn't for Facebook, you know, something like that. And I mean,
dreaming of catching rooster fish.
Yeah, but,
you know what I mean.
But unless somebody would go down there or you know, find it or blow it up, you know, able to put it in the magazines and been able. It's on Facebook. I see it. I send it to you, and you go check this out. I mean, these are. I mean, they're not, you know, croakers are. But for us, these croakers that they're catching are like 5-pound croakers, and it's normal for 5-pound croakers.
Right.
It's,
your arms.
Yeah.
I don't want anything to do with them.
Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of cool that not only through the internet you can find stuff through that, mm-hmm. but you have people there, and the magazine is so well known and it's well spread out that those people are also saying, hey, check this out. They're contacting the magazine itself, which is contacting you guys themselves, trying to get noticed.
Yeah, it's funny how kayak fishing and the internet kind of grew together, and they're kind of perfect complements to each other as well.
Yeah,
some imperfect complements too. So you know, and that's the thing with the magazine as well. You know, we got the website and you know, Facebook page, Twitter, and you know, Pinterest, and everything else that's going on.
And
you know.
the weekly thing. Well, I know we get emails.
Right,
we get emails from and now you don't do that, or does that?
Yeah, no. Well, that's we just hired a web editor, Ben Duquesne. He's been doing a great job for us. He's
but you still have
the
to
magazine.
Send content.
Oh yeah.
And a lot of sometimes the stuff you do on there isn't content that's not being used in a magazine. Like Ben contacts me.
So that's
separate. Not only is there content going in the magazine, but then there's content constantly being put on the Facebook and the Twitters and other stuff like that.
Yeah,
emails. You send emails.
And, you know, it's just a lot of the sport to cover.
Yeah.
So it's exciting.
Yeah.
It's
and fun. A lot of areas to cover it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you know, Twitter. I mean, hell, I'm on Twitter, but just basically from Facebook to Twitter, I'm not.
Right.
It's too much for me to handle, like, you know, all these different ones and try to like respond to all that stuff. But you've got to do that with.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's why, you know, Ben's a big help. And but yeah, you
is
know,
he, is he what's what, he, so he does? Yeah, he's doing like a lot of the stories. A lot.
Yeah,
of the
he's taking
right
over
here.
Web editing, and so
is
know,
he doing that? He's doing that too.
Cool. And he contributes to the magazine.
Yeah,
he's a great guy.
Yeah,
he's
yeah, yeah.
Good writer,
he's,
so.
I mean, he's contacted me a bunch of times for story, or just, you know, sentences and stuff.
Yeah, but that's the way it's got to be. You know,
quotes.
You got to be all over the place.
Yeah. I used to
yeah,
kill
seven pros.
Yeah, with the one-liner thing, it was funny because at the beginning when we were like, we should kind of guys touch on how we met and all that stuff. But at the beginning when you were like wanted one-liners from me for quotes and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and I'd go on and on and go, all right, just tell me that in three words, damn it! So I've gotten better. But rewind on that, I guess we'll go to how we met. I mean, it was the TKA thing in 2004,
mm-hmm.
and so that was the first kind of first on the water meeting I think they had. It was maybe 50 guys, and we all fished Rudy. And
right.
So we went there, and it was like all kind of we were getting skunked. I mean, a couple blues and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went at that time I was fishing HRBT a lot, so I had that place wired, and it was
exploding.
But
wait, let me stop you there. A couple of blues. So
Well,
at
okay.
one point I look over, and Kevin's like, halfway. Hey, look at me. And I look over, and he's got a bluefish hanging from his arm, like it's chomped on his arm.
Yeah, but he had
somebody
already
wants to know how to catch blue.
But he had already introduced himself as Rick Ryder for Fishman yeah. Magazine. All right, this dude's a writer. Hey, writer dude, check this out.
I knew I had something to write about, that's for sure. I knew I'd found somebody to write about, that for sure.
But, so
bailed out of there.
And okay, at the time, so yeah, I had done my first tour, where it was basically real good at HRBT. That's basically where my home was during that time mm-hmm. for fishing. And then you were writing for, or you, well, the Fishman Magazine. Mm-hmm. Talk about the Fishman Magazine was a regional. It was split up into regions, right? We had, and you well, your dad. Okay, rewind again. Let me go. Your dad.
my people came to this country. In 1976.
Okay, we had a chicken and an egg.
my dad was editor of the Fisherman Magazine.
Fisherman Magazine, which
and
is...
so I started helping him out with that, and then I started covering this area for the Fisherman.
And there was at that time
it was a regional
up,
magazine.
But it was was it split up into the Northeast?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's always had
okay,
four
it was
different
the four
issues.
Different issues,
yeah,
and
yeah,
you basically
this area, yep.
Your dad was the creator of of the magazine, and then so you had this area, and you were living out here and doing all that stuff. So yeah, so I knew you had that access, and I had just come off of a tour, so I was about to go on a tour, so I was like, okay, I had already known when I started that the tours, that I knew that the media was gonna be good. I could, this is so cool, kayak fishing is so cool that I know I could show it. Mm-hmm. And I just needed an outlet too. So, but you know, because and so then so we got writer guy. I was like, oh, this guy's a writer. Check this out. So that was the whole thing. So. We also call them Custom Blues, and then we go. I say, okay, we don't catch some fish. Let's go to HRBT now. It's getting dark. We can catch some fish. You said you guarantee some fish. I said I guarantee some fish.
Yeah.
And we go out there, and it was when the stripers were coming out of the water, and they're on top, and it was awesome, and we had a really good time, and you know. We were friends from then on out.
Well, I remember when I got back too. See, I had a bunch of ideas for using the kayak, mm-hmm. and I needed to find somebody who could go.
Right, crazy. That was my next. That was my next thing.
Well, and paddling ability. Crazy was
not only with you know the media stuff, but I was looking for a guy who was going to show me how to or. I wanted to learn how to catch the big fish in our areas. I was seeing in magazines. I didn't know anybody who was doing it. I basically didn't know anybody who was fishing, you know, kayak fishing at that point, besides when the TKA started up. But, so I wanted to know that. You had that knowledge because you had fished, like, reds at the shoals. That was the first thing we had targeted. That was coming up. You had done it before. I was the kayak knowledge. You were the fishing knowledge of the area. And so we set out charts, and I was like, "Hell yeah, I got charts in there!" And I was into it, and you were into it, and was like, "That was when we really were like, okay, this guy is we're on the same level, we're kind of on the same page with what we want to do. You know, we want to take the kayak fishing here locally. We wanted to push it and catch the fish that hadn't been caught before at a kayak. Right. That was kind of the goal with the whole shoals. I mean, you asked me about the shoals. I was like, "Why? No, I stay away from that shit." I mean, the shoals is somewhere you avoid, you know. So we were going to go in there, and then we learned how to do that. The first year we weren't successful. I was on a tour the next year. I think you guys caught one or something
the next year.
I finally got mine the next year, but so we've been friends since then. But we really did a lot kayak fishing wise in the area. You were the guy who put it out in front of everybody through, you know, TKA was growing, but you were also you had the media outlet. This is still before big forums were on the internet. They weren't as big as they were.
Yeah.
You know, this is 2004, 2005. So it wasn't, everybody didn't get their information from forums and stuff
from people like who knew what
magazines were really helpful back then because that's where you learned. I mean, that's basically how I got to want to go after these fish.
Right,
the magazines, Chesapeake Angler magazine and your magazine. So that was what we wanted to do, but so we did that, and kept on going with the stuff. I mean, Stripers, yeah. We targeted every big fish we could. Cobia, we did all
big
that.
Big black drum around. Big black drum
did that, and
mm-hmm. Striper that year too.
Striper that year, the high rise, which is yeah.
And then out in the ocean too. Yeah, I mean, they came right up to the beach.
That's right. We had a really good year.
Remember that day we went down to the beach and it was like flat calm. Yep. And they were freaking birds everywhere. As soon as the sun came up, the birds were just everywhere.
The guys in the surf were catching them. We were catching them right behind the surf. And the guys in
yeah. And as soon as you launch through the water, I mean, it's just they were everywhere. You're chasing down, you know, pods of birds like right on the beach and casting. So it was flat, calm, like a lake.
Yeah.
That was an awesome day. We were sitting there talking, and you had your lure out just on the bottom, and all of a sudden, Roger's like, "Womp, womp, womp."
Yeah,
and
like lunchtime. Yeah.
It's like a stretch 30 on the bottom, just sitting there.
Coming tight.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, good old days. But yeah.
Yeah. So that's been 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been 10 years now.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And I met Rick in 2005 during the epic drum blitz at Sandbridge.
That's right. Because so you were down there you went down there for the, on the, yeah.
Yep, the pier, the surf pier, you know.
Yeah.
And
there was so many fish down there that year. I mean, I've seen over 80 fish caught in one day off that stupid pier.
Yeah.
But same kind of deal, you know, you had the skills to you know, to join and, you know, you were crazy enough to join along, and
that's the thing is when you told him that I wanted looking for somebody fishing. You could fish that day.
Rick put something on Pier and Surf, and I just got a hold of Rick because I had his number and not your number, and I was like, I mean, let him know.
That was the thing. That was the thing with when we started fishing. Was like we wanted the guys to do this kind of, you know, search to push this, you know, envelope.
Right.
We wanted guys that were able to fish. So we, you know, he. That first night at HRBT, I remember him saying, "Oh, okay, you guys can fish." It wasn't like we're flopping around. We target, boom, hit, boom, fight, land. Yeah. You know, it was, here's the pitch. We were already kind of in that, we were good, and you saw it, and then you came in where we saw it, and you were like, okay, we're good. You know, we got some
I learned those slippery flounder. And no net. I lost, I believe it was the first two or three times I had a kayak. I had my kayak, and it was probably borrowed at that point.
Yeah.
I tried net. Yeah. I haven't used one since. Yeah. It's just, I mean, I don't know how many fish I stabbed with a net and just like de-hooked. I mean, that net makes an awesome de-hooker.
When I was doing my first trophy chase here, I was going for the specs, and the guys were, "You have to use a net, you can't land them." I had a net, that first one I had, 27-incher coming in, and you know, poop, boop, gone. And I'm like, man.
Yeah.
Put it away. And that was it. That was the last time I ever even tried. You know, yeah.
Learn lessons the hard way.
This guy wanted to know, before we get off too far away, he had a question about the magazine. Let's see what it says.
Cool. Yeah. So.
Let's see. Joe, and he says, "Will does KA put out like a top 10 kayak anglers, top 10 kayak fishing events, top 10 rod and reels?" All of that stuff, you know, every issue we try to feature, you know,
it's always top
pros,
tens.
You know, this issue coming up, we're going to have tournament pro tips on, you know, how to win a tournament from all over the country, all different disciplines, you know, but, you know, like there are 5-10 things that they love to do to give them an edge.
On that, the guy from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Caught the sailfish and one down in Florida. He'd never been sailfishing before. That's awesome. I mean, just went down there, did work.
Yeah, come up from here. I mean, there's a lot more tournaments than we have around here. It's not really kayak tournament. Like the guys in Texas do tournaments like all
there's
the time.
There's a series. Every weekend. There's a circuit. Yeah. I mean, you literally, it's like the Bass Circuit. I mean, you're here this weekend, there the next weekend, like leaving your family to go kayak fishing and like trying to win money. I mean, people are literally making a living doing this.
Yeah,
Florida. Yeah. I mean, well, they've got the area for it. You know, they've got great inshore fishing, so you can plan an event on in a weekend.
Long season, and reliable fishing.
So it's set up perfectly for that kind of thing. Which brings me to your question: the 10 kayak fishing events on our website. We have the Kayak Angler Tournament Network, and you can find all kinds of tournaments near you or far, wherever you want to do. All the tournaments list their information in there, and then you click on the link, and it takes you to their page. And top 10 rods and reels. Next issue also, we're going to have our gear guide, which will have some of the, I think we're going to do a section on ICAST winners, rods and reels and lures and stuff like that.
That's not only
the hottest, but the best.
And that changes all the time.
How can you tell somebody that this is, I mean, as far as, that's really opinionated as far as like, what is the best bait cast
now?
You got a price range.
You have guys that absolutely love Shimano, and you can't tell them any different. You know what I mean? You have guys that love Daiwas and guys that love Abu Garcias. I mean, there's things like that. I mean, there's people that you can't tell any different. You know what I mean? But I mean, as far as setting a, you know, best of the class.
And you can't do it. Yeah, you can do it. I mean, every year you have to do it every year.
Right.
There's new shit every year. Yeah. New
somebody upgrades in. A bearing or you know a sweeter handle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's stuff. You know, I mean, sure, it's subjective, but it's stuff that we all use. And you know, I've got great $150 combos. You know, that I use, and I've got ones that are more expensive that I use, and you know, both find their ways. You know, into the reviews and stuff. Because right, you know, that's not everybody needs. $400, $500 combo.
Right.
You know, some guys will do just fine with $150 combo. It depends on how much you use it too. You
yeah,
know,
right.
Like if you do one thing all the time, like I like, you know, trout fishing and puppy drum fishing, you know, you have to have a good trout rod, mm-hmm. you know, so you know you might want to drop a couple extra beans on that.
Yep. But
you know, something like you know, trolling or something you don't do as much, you know, maybe not put as much stress on the tackle, you know, you probably find something that's
and
good enough.
Yeah, and exactly what you're doing. I mean, you're kayak fishing.
Yeah.
You're wade fishing.
Right.
Your reels are in the water the whole time.
Yeah. Well, stuff is to the point now. I mean, you know, as long as it's not, you know, super cheap, then, you know, it's usually
that's
pretty good.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
I tell people, you $130 range
right.
for
right.
reels. Those are the ones that are, they're going to work well through the season if you're, I mean, mine gunk up, I take them in and get them clean, and they're worth getting clean. That takes a couple bucks, and they're good. So that's $130 range.
Right.
Those range of reels are always good. That's what I always like. That's what I always tell people. If, you know, somebody's trying to get really, get a good something good that's going to last that.
Yeah.
You know, but then, you know, because then you can buy the $500 one that's going to last.
They've got it.
They got
they
it
do.
If you want it. You got the money. You got
they
the real
do.
I mean,
yes,
I bought
do.
One of those brand new Corrados when they came out, the 200S or whatever, the big, low profile giant one.
Have you seen the new Shimano big giant low profile reel?
Yeah, yeah.
Guy bought that at the shop. Ordered it at the shop. Four stripers around the island.
Okay.
Coming tight.
Like 45 pounds of drag.
And it's like $500. Yeah.
It's all right. You know, I mean.
That's
not the one I bought.
Right.
Yeah.
No. Several years ago, I bought the big Corrado S.
Yeah, but this one's
this is
not a low profile. It's that big.
It's huge.
Somebody had a question about that earlier. Why we prefer? It seems like we prefer low profile bait casters over round reels. The comfort of handling it, holding it. I mean, low profile reels you can palm like this. I guess maybe my hands aren't big enough to palm a big. You know, the Cardiffs are just. It's not as comfortable to hold.
It's the comfort.
And if I'm
it's
and,
a small,
and
the, I like if I could fish with a reel this big,
mm-hmm.
and
right.
I mean small, I would
right
with big, yeah, a little handle, I would love it. But a low profile reel, they're comfortable, they're not in the way. A round reel sometimes will wobble. Sometimes if you're trying to, if you're in a like a you know situation, but, yeah, and also I mean I've had questions where people ask us what about spinning gear, and spinning gear in a kayak, one thing is you know you're sitting,
you lose 6 inches.
Yeah, you're 6 inches below the rod that you can't you know go to the deck or go to your thigh, which is the deck when you're sitting down in the kayak. So that's like one of the real good reasons why I use conventional. And when I first met you, I was using all spinning gear.
Yeah.
And then I transitioned over because
I fished with a lot of spinning gear to start. And the line twist issues.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean,
all kinds of things.
I still use spinning all the time, especially for my trout rods and stuff like that. I was, you know, not something so big that you're going to have to put a lot of leverage on or anything else like that. And I like the, you know, the ability to have, like, complete free spool, you know, and let the line completely sink without any kind of resistance to it. And casting light lures and stuff like that. So, I mean, I like spinning rods for stuff like that. But, yeah, when you get the bigger fish, you know, conventional is usually the way to go.
And it's the way the rods, you mean, on a spinning rod, you're pulling on the guides. On a conventional rod, you're pushing on the rod, which it gives you more.
Well, now they got those conventional rods that
where
the guides.
It's all weird.
Yeah, I used one when we went king mackerel fishing in the kayak.
And
what you're doing is you're pulling down on the line, and then that you're not going to get that rod twist. You know what I'm saying? So you're not fighting the rod twist. So it makes sense.
Yeah, I mentioned it would have its purpose for some reason. Otherwise, it wouldn't.
But
wouldn't
that was like a
chain.
Yeah.
So they're still around. So.
Yeah.
as much as companies change shit all the time.
Yeah.
Right. Every time you like something. They only change what you like.
I know.
They don't change anything that you dislike. They only change what you like.
We just did this. Well, that's a lot. But I've been known to be known as a Cinderella, or not a Cinderella, but yeah, Goldilocks. Goldilocks to other companies. Goldilocks to other companies because I'm always picky about.
Well, that's what you need to be.
Quarter inch of something on.
Yeah.
If these low profile reels would have clickers, we could like completely eliminate.
Yeah, and well, and there are some that are just a little bit more expensive, and they're not as small. There is some with clickers. I think some of the new Abus have clickers on them. But they're expensive.
Well, you know, you can't get into this game if you don't.
You're right about that.
Something for all different levels, that's for sure.
And that's one thing about being a writer, too, is you get to experience a lot of different reels. I mean, when I was working at a tackle shop, it was like that, too. I got to see all these different brands. I mean, when we're sponsored by, like, one company, you know, it's pretty much what we use. But when you're, like, you review stuff for a magazine this big, you get, boom, boom, you try stuff out. I mean,
it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
We use them on the kayaks.
You have to go out and test them. I mean, they send them to you to get tested.
Turn that thing around and watch me get snatched up by the amberjack.
But do you ever like, I don't even want to use this today. I mean, I want to use my shit though. But do you? I mean,
well, yeah. And sometimes you know you got to have two different. You know, you got two different gigs. You know, you got fun fishing. You know, and you got work fishing. So sometimes I'll go out with all the new stuff and try it all out. You know, and then. But yeah, you know, on a you know afternoon trip on a weekday or something like that, when I'm just going down to catch some trout at the jetties or what have you, you know, I just grab my old stuff and
know what works.
Sometimes something new makes it into the old stuff category, but
imagine something good comes across. Oh wait a minute, this is
there's definitely a
you guys don't want this back, do you?
Not getting into the brands, but there's definitely a few jewels out there that we keep with us all the time.
But it's been cool to watch. You know. Companies start to recognize the sport as well. You know,
ones that aren't so much the real fishing companies.
You know, I get to go to this ICAST convention every year, the international tackle convention. You know, it's only dealers and the press that's there. But anyway, man, it's kayak fishing everywhere you go. Not just all the kayak companies, but a lot of the kayak companies are there representing their boats. You know, but also like other companies that aren't really related to kayak fishing will have. Displays that include kayak fishing, you know, so it's cool, you know.
It's part electronics of, companies.
Yeah.
They're trying to sell, I mean, you know, fish finders, all that stuff. Well, I mean, people use that stuff.
The proof is, the bottom line of that is kayaking is full on part of fishing now.
It's a full on fishing industry.
Yes.
It's
part of the bigger.
It's not a kayak industry. It's not a kayak industry. Yeah. Yeah. It's a fishing industry.
Yes. Right. And it's part of the bigger fishing industry.
I think it's starting to become part of the kayak industry too. You know, and that's pretty cool as well. Lots of people are making what about paddlers, you know?
Right. Lots of people are making kayaks that are becoming more fishing friendly. I mean, instead of just your core companies,
there's not kayakers so much coming over from kayaking.
Right.
But it's not that. I mean, how big of a market is? It seems like I'm seeing more fishing kayaks more than I'm seeing recreation kayaks. I'm seeing more people that are kayak fishing rather than going out for their recreational paddle. That seems like it's a bigger industry now than just the regular kayak.
Yeah, I don't know if it's overcome, you know, the paddling, the, you know, what part of the entire paddling industry it is exactly, but certainly it's growing, and of course every company's recognizing that, but I think what you see is also, of course you see the dedicated fishing kayaks, but now you're starting to see more kind of crossover paddling kayaks with some fishing features like sit-in sides, you know, that recreational people like to get, you know, paddle around, and they you know, feel comfortable in them and that, but they also have fishing rods and stuff like that, so, you know, again, is the kayak fishing getting into the kayaking market as well?
Yeah and no, because then we have these boats that are not even paddle, you know, they're not paddle friendly.
That's the thing, you know. I just like to see more paddle, you know, friendly.
Well,
I
there's
enjoy
that company.
Paddling.
There's a company from the South Africa boats. Those,
right.
Those.
Yeah. So those things.
Punching
yeah.
those boats are starting. I think there's a company that's making them here in the States, or at least offering them here in the States. I've been seeing Stealth. I think
Stealth.
It is.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean those. Yeah, those are
like
paddling boats.
Yeah,
yeah those yeah. are those are yeah. But fishing, those are the same ones that you're using in South Carolina, South Carolina,
South Africa.
Yep, it's pretty exciting times. And just getting better.
Yeah, yeah, it's growing. It's growing. And in this, and there's, you know, there's the other magazine, which is...
You have people that are, like... The economy was rougher. I mean, people were going from boat fishing to kayak fishing.
That,
I mean, the transfer of people more from kayakers to kayak anglers is from, like, people in boats and people surf fishing.
That's
people that just surf and pier fishing. Now,
around here, we've seen a lot. We definitely see boaters going, okay, we're
in the same place they are, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they see us in the same places they are all the time.
Yeah. And the surf guys, they expand their range.
They went, it evolved in surf fishing. It went from taking your bait out on the surf
around here,
and then coming back in to now you just take your rod and reel out past the thing and set up out there and fish. I mean, the transfer of people, and it's probably the same all over the place. I mean, it's cost efficient to kayak fish. You can go to the same places. We can catch the same fish.
And that's
especially
the thing,
if you look at it, and if you're willing to travel, you can catch the same fish as anyone anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, the close to shore but pelagic fishing down in Florida or Costa Rica, I mean, it rivals
Hawaii.
Hawaii too,
that's right there
where Jim is.
Baja. Yeah.
Down there.
Yeah.
I mean, they do use motherships sometimes, but a lot of that fishing is you can paddle out to it. I mean, so if you're willing to travel, you can fish, you can catch anything we can catch out of a boat.
Yeah.
I mean, there's that video, that crazy video that guy put out, where was he from? And that, I don't know whether he landed or not, but at one part in the video, he had that huge black marlin just wailing off in front of the boat. I mean,
that was Hawaii one, wasn't that Hawaii?
No, he was from
Scandinavia. I want to say Norway. We're just getting ready to do a piece on him. I should know better. and he put it on his, this is what I want to do, you know, and he made the whole film and everything. Works for a fishing magazine over there as well.
Oh, okay,
But he went to Baja, I think, is where he was when he caught the fish,
Cool.
Yeah,
it was a big fish, though.
Yeah. Mean,
yep. Non-stop. Full throttle.
All right,
people are getting crazy with this stuff.
We do have some more questions on here. We'll be...